every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome, you're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman. Mike McDowell is off on assignment today. At each commercial break, we are going to ask a trivia question. And Russ, so let's see, what's going on? We've got the 2025 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees. Jared Allen, Sterling Sharp, Eric Allen, and Antonio Gates. Do you have any issues with any of these guys being in?
I would hope that maybe Allen would want to join the 49ers, since the Niners have their own, holdouts in the wide receiver spot, or they don't know what's going to happen with Juwan Jennings, and they don't have.
I was getting on the Pro Football Hall of Fame guys who were coming in: Jared Allen, Sterling Sharp, Eric Allen, and Antonio Gates. Yeah, do you have any issues with any of these guys getting in?
Oh no, Antonio Gates was one of the best tight ends ever. I mean, yeah. The other guys, Sharp, obviously super famous, outside of just not as a player. So yeah. No, I think those are good nominations for the Hall of Fame. I don't have any problems.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have it either. It's kind of interesting how it's like, you can't say the best. I mean, it's just, I guess there's just sort of it can get just expanded. Although this guy's the best, or not necessarily the best, but it's like, okay, this guy's worthy of being in the hall.
I have to think in the era that he was in. I mean, certainly like Antonio Gates. I mean, he was, he kind of opened up. He is one of the ones that really opened up the modern wide receiver designation of tight ends. I know there were great catching tight ends before that, but I mean, really, Gates was almost a pure receiving tight end. Anyway,
fair enough. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. We got a lot to talk about. Don't touch that dial. We're gonna be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Russell Jackman. Again, Mike McDowell is off today on assignment, as we say. You know, we're also getting into the season of Little League World Series. I always love that time. Do you like the Little League World Series?
No, I don't.
Really?
No, I don't. I think it puts a lot of pressure on the kids. The fact that it's televised and people are betting on the game, you know, is...
Oh, I haven't heard about the betting part.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, remember, on the internet and in England, you can bet on literally anything in the universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are people that bet directly on the Little League World Series. And I think that it's become just too big for kids. It's taken out of the context of kids playing the sport because they enjoy it. It's now they want to win the Little League World Series because it makes them famous. And that's not what Little League should be about.
You know, there was a movie that came out, gosh, it has to be at least 15 years ago. In fact, Cheech Marin played the priest, and it had to do with the team from Mexico, and it was the only perfect game pitched in the League World Series. I don't know if you saw it, but it was actually a pretty good, it was kind of a good movie. And the game before, I think it was, I'm trying to remember if it was the semifinals or the finals, where basically these guys, I think they were from Mexico, who were mafia. And they said, you're going to have this guy pitch, this young man pitch, blah, blah, blah. And the coach says, no, we're not going to do it. And he defied him. But there you go. And that was going back to, I think 1957, if I'm not mistaken. And again, I don't know if that part of the story is true, but there you go. Betting on Little League World Series, even way back then.
Yeah, my whole feeling about sports and gambling, I just think that it is truly the root of all evil when it comes to sports. I think, you know, steroids is one thing, but gambling, I think, is an even worse sin.
Yeah.
You know, I there's so many things you can gamble on, and that's what cards were invented for. That's what dice were invented for.
Yeah.
Why don't you bet on the things that you can that were made for gambling and not necessarily
and chance, like just total chance rather than I still think back to Muhammad Ali beating Sonny Liston with the Phantom Punch. You know, if you watch that, I mean, you know, he went down like like, what's going on with this guy?
And, but interestingly, there was never any admission by either boxer when they died that, you know, oh, you know, by the way, we faked all this.
Well, I don't think Muhammad Ali, if I understand it correctly, I don't think Muhammad Ali was in on it. But Sonny Liston, unfortunately, there was some issues with some mafia guys. And there
but nobody since then has ever uncovered anything. No one's ever.
There was a, I don't want to say a documentary, but in a way it was. It was like a series on various mob bosses. And, you know, they go back to, you know, Al Capone.
Yeah, but nobody's admitted the connection or anything like that. Nobody is.
No, but it's a very interesting. And again, you know, you look at this stuff, you don't know how much is true, but they did make a point about this one guy, and I don't remember which mafia guy it was, they talked about him and Sonny Liston, and there's lots of pictures of the two of them together and that sort of thing. So, you know, well, maybe one can infer it, but you kind of still can't wonder about
with
that.
This much time that's gone past. And they haven't come up with solid information on it. I get more doubtful about it because, I mean, enough people, you know, what the people who are all involved in it are all dead now. So you would think that if there was some truth to all that, it would have come out now eventually.
Yeah. And you kind of look at, if you sort of look at it and you look at that phantom punch and you still wonder, okay, well, what, then give me the story behind that. And it's funny because growing up, I remember, you know, hearing about the Sonny Liston fight and I didn't know anything about him. And I just thought, oh boy, what a wimp. But then you find out he was an absolute bruiser. He was a Mike Tyson type of guy.
Well, and also Muhammad Ali kind of went on from there to be kind of a famous fighter and beat a lot of other people up. So it's not as if that was the only time Muhammad Ali managed to knock somebody out. So, you know, if he was a one-time deal, like, you know, Buster Douglas kind of thing,
where
you just go, okay, then maybe the fix is in kind of thing. Although I still remember watching the entire Buster Douglas fight. It was funny with the NBA slam dunk contest, the All-Star Saturday night was the same night as the Buster Douglas fight. So I went over to my friend's house because he paid for the Buster Douglas Tyson fight. He paid for all the Tyson fights. And we were like, it's going to be another 5-minute deal. So we'll watch the fight. It'll be over. And then we'll watch the NBA All-Star slam dunk thing. We never got to the NBA All-Star night because the fight went, you know, what, like 8 or 10 rounds or something.
Yeah. Like, and I'm trying to remember with Mike Tyson, was it just that he was just exhausted? He just didn't train for it. He was exhausted.
Yeah. And Buster Douglas really, 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 really wanted that. I mean, that shot at fame. Of course, he was a completely worthless boxing champion. And I think only defended the title once or twice and then lost it again. So, you know, the stunningness, it was maybe the most stunning upset I've ever seen in my life in any fight anywhere, MMA, wrestling or boxing. That was still like a story because we were sitting there watching going, okay, Mike's just gonna get ready to knock him out. Next round he's gonna knock him out. All right, next round. And then by the fourth round we were like, he's not gonna knock him out, is he? Buster Douglas looks like he's gonna knock him out. And we were all just like standing around like going, When is Mike going to suddenly?
If I remember, he didn't really look in shape either.
No, he was totally like asleep in the ring. And now Tyson has a new ad for men's soap, Squatch, deodorant soap, Squatch.
Really?
Squatch. Yeah, and A, you know, it's weird to see Mike Tyson at age 60, like, promoting, like, you know, in a boxing attire, you know, promoting something. And B, why anyone would want to smell like Mike Tyson at all? That to me doesn't seem like a great marketing thing.
And they probably are marketing it as, and you can smell like you just came out of the ring.
Well, you'll have to watch the ad yourself and see. They have to run subtitles for Mike because his language speaking is so hard to understand now.
The
average American won't be able to understand what the hell he says.
Well, he always had a lisp, but is it really pronounced
a lot more? Yes.
Maybe
and they're
all
kind
the
of making fun of that. Yeah. Kind of, I think they made fun of it in the sense that they're running subtitles under when he talks during the commercial. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But maybe speaking of fighters that haven't managed their money well, I did want to bring up the subject of Hulk Hogan while we have a second.
Sure, We got. I'll tell you what. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and bring it up, and then we'll probably continue on.
Ozzy Osbourne died a week before Hulk Hogan did.
Yeah.
And they were saying about Ozzy's estate versus Hulk Hogan's estate. Now, do you know how much Ozzy Osbourne managed to ferret away, and what his estate was worth?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to say $75
million. Ha! You're not even remotely close. For a guy that deals with money, I thought you'd be a lot closer.
I never followed him, so I didn't know. How much?
$400 million.
Wow. Well, Sharon must have been a good manager. I mean, of course, he could have been a good manager himself.
Well, he's been doing it since the 70s. You know how much Hulk Hogan's estate was worth?
But no, save that for us, for the audience when we get back.
That's good. All right, here's our
trivia question. Okay, our first one. Which U.S. city is home to the world's tiniest park? And this isn't a hint, but this park consists of one tiny tree that takes up 452 square inches. And it's technically a park.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint. It's in the Western Hemisphere, the Western part of the United States. Okay. All right. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Russell Jackman. Our first trivia question, which U.S. city is home to the world's tiniest park?
I just am going to throw a city out there, and that's Tempe, Arizona.
No, it's up north. Portland, Oregon. These questions are sort of like, you know, just very, very random type things.
Well, it's true. That is trivia for you.
Yes. Okay, so Hulk Hogan.
So if Ozzy Osbourne's estate was worth $400 million, how much was Hulk Hogan's estate worth?
Well, you kind of told us ahead of time that it was like, you know, contrasting. So I'm going to say $4 million.
It's $25.
$25 million. Okay. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but yeah, you'd think that with all
the fame. It's not a lot when you consider how long he was, you know, in the business for and how many commercials he sold. You know, he was earning, I think, around $4 million a year by the time he was done, finished as.
Okay, so now, I don't know, if I remember correctly, but this is actually, I don't really know this, Ozzy Osbourne only had one wife, Sharon?
Yes.
And Hulk Hogan had at least two wives, right?
Yes.
And Linda Hogan. That's the formula there. Stay married and you'll get to keep your hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's very true. It's very true. Yeah. I think Linda has fought him every inch of the way for the money once she got divorced. But also, you know, it's a backstory about Hulk Hogan is that he was offered the opportunity to endorse the George Foreman grill. The George Foreman grill makers went to Hulk Hogan first and offered him the grill. And instead, Hulk Hogan opted for a meatball maker.
Wow.
Hulk Hogan's meatball maker, which is in every house, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has a Hulk Hogan meatball maker.
Yeah.
And instead, the George Foreman's grill wound up earning George Foreman $200 million.
Isn't that amazing? That's like, remember Joe DiMaggio, Mr. Coffee?
Yes. Yeah, but but it didn't have his name on it. It wasn't Joe DiMaggio's Mr. Coffee, whereas it was the George Foreman grill. So he got, you know, direct royalty. Joe DiMaggio got paid for his commercial endorsement, but George Foreman got money for every grill that was sold.
Did you see the movie about George Foreman?
No, I have not.
You know what? I think you'd like it because they also talk about
preachy towards the end.
Wait, say again.
I heard it was kind of preachy towards the end.
Oh yeah, but I mean that's his life. So I mean you're watching a thing about his life. The thing that's kind of cool is how, you know, things had gone like down, and then finally he gets this opportunity for the grill, and it's kind of okay, and then that's what kind of brings him back out of poverty, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm just really surprised that of the 9 kids that he had, none of them are boxers.
Wow.
Not one of them is in the fighting business.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And he had a lot of kids, so you'd think one of them, or even his daughter,
one of them.
Georgina.
That's a good point, because you got to figure the genes are really good. It's funny, I'm still upset about that Rumble in the Jungle. You know, because I was never a Muhammad Ali fan, and I really liked George Foreman when he was fighting. He was a beast. And if it was fought in the United States without all the humidity and all this kind of stuff, I know that each one of them has, you know, the same advantage or disadvantage. But if they would have just trained normally, I think Foreman would have beat him.
The thing is, Foreman probably made more money after he retired and then came back in all those years that he was actually coming and an actual champion. He probably won more, you know, in those tights fights.
From a money standpoint, but I'm just thinking from, you know, just a boxer on boxer, you know. You know, it's funny. I always wanted to see Mr. T against Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no, they never turned either one of those guys heel and decided, you know, Mr. T was always a super face. But he was also, Mr. T really wasn't, he never really understood how to wrestle. I mean, that was never really something that he learned how to do.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, no, it'd be more, fighting or whatever. I mean,
they had, you know, Roddy Piper, they had Roddy Piper face Mr. T in a boxing match. Uh-huh. And it's still heralded as one of the worst events that the WWE has ever put on. The Mr. T Roddy Piper boxing match was absolutely horrible.
Well, was Roddy any kind of a boxer?
No, he wasn't. And yeah, so, I mean, you know, after about 4 minutes in the ring, he threw off the gloves and started attacking Mr. T as a wrestler. God. And then they disqualified him. So it was really like one of the more disappointing events.
That's one way to get disqualified.
Yeah, it was really awful. It was really awful.
If I'm not mistaken, I think. Mr. T was a sparring partner for Muhammad Ali, wasn't he?
That part I don't remember. It wouldn't totally surprise me, you know, because of the timing of it, you know. But I think it would be a little young to have been Muhammad Ali's sparring partner. He would have to be, you know, keep in mind, you know, he was like in his 20s in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be hard to believe.
I don't think No. Wait, hold on. When he did Rocky III, that was 1983, I think, wasn't it? 82, 83. And he must have been 30, at least 30.
I don't think he was that old. I don't think he was that young. Really? Look back on it. He seems pretty young.
I'll have to look that up. But yeah, Clubber Lang, man. What a brute.
As I said, I showed Rocky III to my daughter because I said there's really nothing more 80s that you can get than Rocky III. And it sums up the action genre of the 80s really well. I mean, you know, so Sylvester Stallone, you have Mr. T, you have Hulk Hogan. You can't talk about the 80s action wise without mentioning one of those three guys, if not all three.
That's true.
Guys. You throw in Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you throw in maybe Clint Eastwood, and you've really got the 80s action genre. If you have Sylvester Stallone, you have
Clint Eastwood, I would still think is more the 60s and 70s, not so much the 80s.
Sudden Impact was in the 80s.
Oh, that was in the 80s. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And
go ahead, make my day. It was in that one, I think, right?
Yeah. No, that was the original Dirty Harry.
No, it wasn't. Actually, it's funny. Go ahead, make my no. It's when he says, "All right, punk." I don't know if I had six shots or five. You know, and you have to decide. You know, is it worth? Basically, is it worth it? That's the original Dirty Harry. But the "Go ahead, make my day" was actually from Sudden Impact. That was one of my
things. It's been a long time since I remember that Dirty Harry winds up in the quarry that's over by Redwood High School.
The old Hutchinson. I still remember that. And in fact, it's so funny because I remember it being in shop back then when they allowed kids to do shop in 12 years old. And I made this building and it looked like the Hutchinson one because it was kind of off. It had a big curve in it.
Very distinctive. I don't know, is the Hutchinson building even there anymore?
No. Oh, no, that's Larkspur Landing.
Yeah, that's all been turned into. Game. Yeah. I think it's where the melting pot is or whatever. Yeah.
If you remember, the one right after Dirty Harry was Magnum Force, and that was David Soul, who became
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Back to sports. There's been a lot of trades going on, isn't there?
Yeah, especially in baseball. I mean, the Giants are like half the team they were, you know, when we last talked. You know,
Stremski's gone, and
which, you know, Stremski is the epitome of nice guys finishing fourth place.
Yeah,
I mean, nice guy. You know, there's nothing, nobody ever said anything negative about Yastrzemski's personality. You know, he was beloved, but he's a a sub-average player. He's not a bad player. He's not. Yeah. He's not worthless. In fact, maybe the big problem is he's just good enough to be average. You know,
gotcha.
And so
he's not his grandfather. That's for sure.
No, he's not. But he's not so bad. He's not so bad that he doesn't have a place on a major league roster. But he's also just never going to click in and take it to the next level. And then we got rid of Tyler Rogers. We got rid of Duvall, who was an all-star. And then, you know, we go right out of that. And, you know, yeah, we win a couple against the Mets. But then yesterday we lose again to Pittsburgh in a very humiliating and annoying loss that is going to probably cost the Giants. I don't think the Giants are making the postseason. They're up 10 games. They were tied. With the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And since then, they've just gone. They've only won three games since the All-Star break.
And why is it that we always get, and I say we because we're Giants fans here, why do we always get players in the tail end of their careers, especially pitchers?
Well, the Giants do have some promising young pitchers in the sense that they had Birdsong and but Birdsong kind of hit the wall and Roop has been injured. So,
okay. All right. Let's go to our second trivia question here.
I know that finger.
Yeah. Sorry for the finger. Yeah. What is the largest lake in the world? Now, technically they call it a sea, but apparently it's a lake. So it's got the word sea in it, just so you know, S-E-A. All right. What is the largest lake in the world? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance. With state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is. So you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids, located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
Van Halen redefined rock and roll with blistering guitar riffs, unforgettable hooks, and a stage show that felt larger than life. From Running with the Devil to Jump, they took the raw power of 70s rock, added wild energy and guitar heroics, and delivered the soundtrack of a generation. Now, San Fran Halen captures that spirit with precision and passion. This Bay Area supergroup brings Van Halen's legendary catalog roaring back to life. Get ready for an authentic, high-energy show that channels the full-throttle fun of Van Halen's prime.
This isn't just a tribute. This is a celebration.
Come party like it's 1984 on Saturday, August 16th at Santa Rosa's Vintage Space Nightclub in the Flamingo Hotel.
2777 4th Street, Santa Rosa.
San Fran Halen.
San Fran Halen.
August 16th. Get your tickets online at sanfranhalen.com.
Lowe's knows hot deals help you get the most out of summer. Get up to 30% off select major appliances and get it delivered as soon as next day. Plus, get up to 30% off select patio furniture, grills, outdoor power equipment, and more. These end-of-season savings won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/30. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Valid on eligible in-stock orders in select locations. Price, delivery time, and vehicle availability may vary based on order size and location. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com/delivery for more details.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. And hopefully next week, Mike McDowell will be off on assignment and back into the studio. Okay, second trivia question. What is the largest lake in the world?
Sargasso? Sargasso
Sea? Sargasso? Don't know that one. It's 143,000 square miles.
And I was thinking it was Lake Superior before you said this, but
yeah,
this,
no, that's technically it's the Caspian Sea.
Huh.
I didn't realize that that's a lake.
I didn't either.
I didn't make this up, people. I tell you what though, the next question will be easier for you. Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully not geography based. I'm not the world's greatest geography.
Don't worry. It's not a geography question. Okay. So let's do a quick fun joke here. So this guy finds a bottle on the beach, and of course there's a genie in it, and the genie says, "Hey, listen, forget this three wishes stuff. You only have two wishes." And the guy says, "Okay, well, you know, I'm here on this beach, but you know, it's a stranded island. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. Can you build me a bridge to Hawaii?" And the genie says, "Are you kidding? Do you know the engineering and all the cement and all the steel and how long it would take and how many lights it would be to light it up from here to Hawaii? You got to be kidding me. You got to give me a second. Give me your other wish." And he says, "Okay, well, I'd like to understand women." And again, the genie says, "So how many lights on that bridge do you want?"
Yeah, I can have that bridge ready for you next Tuesday.
I like that. That's cute. All right. So, we're just a couple of months away from your favorite sport coming back.
You're talking golf.
Yeah, golf. Yeah.
No, I don't care about golf. Yeah, no. Football is revving up. Obviously, America, you know, literally is on its haunches, like getting ready for the snap. You know, America literally waits in slumber for football season.
Well, that's what Rogers, you know, Hornsby said about the wintertime. You sit out there looking at the winter.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel, unfortunately, that basketball has sort of slipped backwards and
really is
now back to being, well, it's clearly the second sport, and it's, you know, now I think it's wrangling with baseball as far as like who's going to be number three. And football is like the number one and the number two sport. It's so. Or, you know, NFL and then college football are like the one and two sports.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the NBA and Major League Baseball trail behind. I think it's been, for baseball, it's been tough because the competitive balance is so far off. And even adding the extra wild card thing, you know, extra wild card spot still doesn't make it more than a regional sport. And baseball still, I mean, people mostly follow their team, but they don't follow. I'm guilty of that. I follow the Giants, and I don't watch any other baseball games.
One of the problems with the NBA is that half the season seems like it's taken up with the playoffs, or because at least half the teams make it.
Yeah, and now with the 9 and 10 spot and the play-in games and all that stuff you almost don't need to pay. It's kind of like college basketball. You don't need to pay any attention to the regular season. You just pay attention to the tournament. And the regular season for the NBA is becoming less and less meaningful. And it's more about, do you make the play-in game? Do you make the top 10? I mean, I thought the Warriors were compelling last year to watch, but I'm not sure they're going to be all that compelling this year.
No. You know, it reminds me of when you're talking about all these playoff games. So before 1969, you used to have in baseball
division winners.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it wasn't even, no, it was National versus American. You didn't even have the only reason that the 69 Mets got into the World Series is because they that was the first year they started it. And I think they beat the Cubs, but that doesn't make sense because that's right, because the Cubs used to be in the western side of they beat the Cubs to get in. Otherwise the Cubs I think would have been in the World Series back then.
I was two, so I wasn't really actively watching a lot of baseball at that time. So
I was a big Mets fan.
Pretty much for my whole life, it's always been the division winners, you know, the go. But now they've added the third wild card, and even that, I don't think the Giants are going to get. So you know, it's but yeah, I mean the whole thing is the more they expand these playoff things, the more cities are in contention, the more people pay for tickets and watch the games because they're still in contention for a playoff spot. It's also, it's all around how much money they can make from, bringing people in to watch these things.
Well, but I wonder what these ticket prices are going to look like too.
I know. Well, the WWE just had a SummerSlam, their mid-year event. And I heard that tickets for, that people were paying $25,000 for front seat, up close front seats for the WWE.
WWE?
Yeah,
and who are the major wrestlers?
A two night thing too. That's the other thing about SummerSlam and WrestleMania. They made them into two nights each, so. It depends where you go the first night, or do you go the second night, or you go to both nights. First night, the main event was CM Punk versus Gunther, two people you probably don't even know. The main event on a Sunday night was John Cena against Cody Rhodes.
Okay, so John Cena, I know.
But the problem is that required like 18 matches to get to. There were, like 9 matches in the first night and there were 9 matches in the second day. So,
well, and each match is lasting how long average?
An eternity, to be honest with you. Watching it felt like each match like lasted 9 or 10 hours. It was the entrances of wrestling have become so overblown that now you can easily watch for 20 minutes as the wrestlers get to the ring.
Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous. Okay, so let me ask you, when you first get to the stadium, call it, right? The venue, thank you. And the wrestlers like first come out till the time that you go home, how many hours is that?
We're talking at least like 4. And sometimes 5 or 6, if they have what's called dark matches they don't show on TV, that could be like another hour's worth of stuff. And it's relentless as far as like, there's always music going on. There's always like, they'll show you on the giant Jumbotron what happened before that match, the buildup or whatever. You're often watching stuff on the screen before you even watch it in the ring.
How many people generally are in the venue?
If you looked at SummerSlam this weekend, there wasn't an open seat in the entire arena. So like you can fit so much more people in to see a wrestling match than a football game because you can put people down on the field and you don't have.
Are you what, 40,000?
Oh, it was more like 65.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I mean, there wasn't an open seat, and you had people all the way up at the very top. You have people paying $500 or $600 to go sit in a seat that's behind a stanchion or a speaker, and they wind up, and those poor fools wind up watching the entire event on their stupid phone because they can't see from where they're sitting.
What? How much would the cheapest seat be in something like that?
Like $500.
That's amazing. I mean, that's almost like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is. It's that's what SummerSlam and WrestleMania have become Super Bowl type events now.
You know what? Good for them. I mean, I don't begrudge that
good
at all.
Good for them, but bad for the fans. I think it's shame on the fans for throwing so much money down and legitimizing what was honestly, and my friend Evan, who watches matches too, yeah. We both agreed there were about four really good matches, you know, out of 18, you know, and would you watch, you know, a football game only to watch the fourth quarter, you know, and the first three quarters were absolute garbage. You know?
Well, and here's the thing: in theory, football is not scripted, but yet wrestling is, scripted,
yes.
Right?
Right.
So, they got no excuse for that then, because
no.
They can. Yeah, that's a good point.
The booking was terrible on a number of matches.
It's going to be supply and demand. I mean, if it continues to be that, unattractive, they're going to lose fans.
But the other way around is that they can throw whatever garbage at the fans. And they're still
right now, but yeah. How long will that last?
It seems like it seems like it goes up exponentially, and it doesn't seem to be a bubble. If anyone feels that the WWE can go too far and people will start say, no, we won't pay for this. In fact, by charging more for it, it makes an even more exclusive event, and people seem to be happier to know that they've paid more. Because they feel that they've done something more exclusive if it's just a regular show that people
have. That reminds me, back in the, I think it was the early 1800s, don't quote me on that, there was some kind of a bridge where it was a footbridge. And if you
It was made by the genie you were just talking about.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yeah. And the way what had happened was that they would say, if you know, not everybody was wealthy enough to own shoes, so they said if you walk across the bridge and you have shoes on, it costs you a dollar, and if you are barefoot, it's free. Well, the people who had shoes said, I don't want to pay a dollar. So they took their shoes off. And the people who were really poor wanted to show that they were rich. So they would pay the dollar, put on those people's shoes and walk across.
Sure. Yeah. It's if you, the element that you can be there. It's now WrestleMania and SummerSlam have more to do with people saying that they were there than it is to okay, they went and the matches were great. And I mean, I went to WrestleMania.
You can just tell people. Yeah, I was there.
I was there at WrestleMania 2. I was actually there. And my brother and I got tickets to the LA Sports Arena.
Yeah.
Where it was at. And they were $15.
Yeah. Well, back then, what year is that?
85, 86, maybe.
Wow. So right after Hulk Hogan did, I don't see he put wrestling on the map because it was always popular, but he really kind of elevated it. Tell you what, we're going to go to our next trivia question here. All right. This one will be a little easier for you there, my friend. What was the name of the first permanent English settlement in the Americas? What was the name of the first permanent English settlement in the Americas? All right. You are listening to Sports Econ 101. Make sure that you don't touch that dial because we're going to be back with some closing comments and Russell's favorite part of the show, our thoughts of the day. Stay with us.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. we provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. Third trivia question, what was the name of the first permanent English settlement in the Americas?
George, I have no idea.
No, you're close. Jamestown.
Oh, Jamestown. Okay.
Remember Jamestown, 1607, your favorite
remember.
Year.
No, I don't remember from 1607. How about that?
You got to remember.
My kids try to tell me how old I am, but I was not around in 1607. One time
you
my
didn't
kids
learn
did
that
ask,
when you didn't learn that in high school. Come on.
One time
come
my
on,
kids
man.
Did ask if I was around for the Civil War.
Your kids asked you that? You know what?
Yes.
My wife's grandfather was around for the Civil War, if you can believe that.
I heard that one of the widows from the Civil War died just only a few years ago. A daughter from one of the Civil War veterans. Yeah, died just a few years ago.
Actually, you know what? My wife's grandfather wasn't in the Civil War, but he was born just before the Civil War. But he was a little kid. All right. Wow. Are you ready for our thoughts of the day? Prepare yourself for this one. So last year, 117,000 people died from gym injuries, but only one person died eating a donut. So I tell you, it's all about life's choices, right? And
who's the person that died eating the donut, by the way?
I don't know. They must have choked on something.
Yeah. Choke on a donut, though? That in itself deserves its own inquiry.
Choke on something that's soft. That's a good point. I will have to look that up. And then last week I went out for a run, and after 2 minutes I realized I forgot something. I forgot that I'm out of shape and I can't run for more than 2 minutes.
Yeah, I hate running. Yes, you forgot that.
Yeah, I like that. I like your answer better. I hate running. All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
So long.